We are going to spend some time in God's Word, and we're going to start in the book of Exodus. Genesis, Exodus. And we're going to go to chapter 3. And I'd like to share on the subject of you can do what God says you can do. There was a believer years ago who wrote a song about that. Tom Lipinski, great words to that song. We can do what God says we can do. And we're going to look at a few things in God's Word today, that what He does say to do. So here's an example of, we're going to read a little bit about Moses. God called Moses to help him facilitate getting the children of Israel out of Egypt. They were in there for over 400 years. They were enslaved. They had no political pull. They had no army. They had no anything that could get them from being slaves in the most powerful country in the world at that time to walking out with total freedom and loaded with gems and silver and gold from the Egyptians into the promised land. And God knocked on Moses' door, and when God told him what was going on, he was, hey, I could do that. Well, not really. But sometimes people hear what God's Word says and says, there's no way I could ever do that. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but sometimes the stuff is so big and so magnificent, it's like, how could I ever achieve that? How could I ever do that? But God says we can. And here, Moses is a great example of this. So in chapter 3, verse 1, says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now at this time, Moses was 80 years old. You would think, he's like at the tail end of his life, so to speak. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the angel saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said it twice because Moses had a hearing problem. No, not really. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not close hither, for put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the places whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, as we know from reading this record in times past, Moses was the son of the Pharaoh. By Pharaoh's daughter found him in the water and took him for his own son. So he was raised in Pharaoh's household, and he was in line to become a Pharaoh, or could have. And he fled Egypt when he was 40 years old. He said he considered the things of Christ greater than all the riches of Egypt. And he left, so he's in this wilderness for 40 years. So it's not like he's getting reports every day of what's going on. But things weren't good when he left. And so he's hearing that these people are afflicted. And I am come down, verse 8, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and Perizzites and all those people. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Can you imagine him thinking? He's hearing this and saying, that's great, they're going to get out of Egypt and all this stuff, and God's going to take care of them. This is really wonderful. I'm excited. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee, uh-oh, unto Pharaoh. What was sounding like a good idea was now, uh-oh. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Now, he's the only one standing there, so it's not like he can turn around and say, is he talking to that guy back there? He's the only one there. I will send thee unto Pharaoh that you mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, oh, wait a minute here. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? God said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And as you read, you see Moses has got a couple more things like, well, what do you mean? I really can't speak well. I can't do this. But can you imagine being Moses and you're hearing all this good news that God's going to take care of his people and get them out of Egypt, and all of a sudden he dumps it on you, but you're the guy that's going to actually walk them out. So Moses had to decide. And he said, you know, God said, I am that I am, which means I will be what I will be, what I need to be. God would be what he needed to be to help get Israel out of Egypt. Did they get out of Egypt? Absolutely. With flying colors, walked out with great riches. And I was mentioning to somebody yesterday, those original riches that the Egyptians poured on the children of Israel, they used that for food and stuff when they first got out of Egypt. The manna didn't come the first day they got out of Egypt. The manna came later on. But what sustained them until then, because they had only left with so much food, is that money. They were among other countries, and they could buy. Hey, I got this silver here. What do you think we can trade with? I thought, how wonderful how God provided for that to happen. But God basically told Moses, you can do this because I will back you up, and it will surely come to pass. So then he said, okay. Eventually he said, okay. God had to get his brother involved. Then he had two old guys, an 80-year-old, and I think Aaron was a year, two or three older than him. So they got these two 80-year-old guys approaching the most powerful man in the world and saying, hey, we're coming to take Israel out of here, let our people go. And that didn't go well with Pharaoh. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1. But they got out. Moses looked at it in due time and said, I can do what God told me I can do. Colossians chapter 1. God says we can do what he tells us we can do. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 is a prayer for the Colossian believers that had just basically started getting in God's word. It says, for this cause, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that, reason being, you might walk worthy of the Lord, that you can do that stuff, that you can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's pretty good. Not, I think I can do what he says once in a while. Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in some good things. Now, every good thing. Every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And here's a key in verse 11, strengthened with all might. He will strengthen us as we move forward with what God says we can do. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I think Perry prayed that prayer about thanking God for having delivered us out of the authority of darkness. That has already been done for us. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We can please God. We can do his word. It is available. God strengthens us. Jesus Christ, as our Lord, strengthens us, it says. 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is concerning Paul. And remember, Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul. Just different names, language-wise. But he was a heller. He hated the Christians. He was against God's people. He thought Jesus Christ was horrible. He didn't like the believers. He imprisoned them. He had some put to death. He wasn't a nice fellow to God's people. And yet, he turned around his life and started believing what God's word said and changed big time. And here's a partial record of that, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. And the word enabled could be translated as strengthened, empowered, strengthened with all power. He has strengthened me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with believing and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am one of them. No, of whom I am chief. I am the worst bastard out there. And look what happened to me. Howbeit, verse 16, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth a pattern of all longsuffering. Show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So his life was an example to many others. He was as bad as they got in that day and time, and God Almighty accepted him as his son and got healed, got blessed. And so Paul was starting to do what God said he could do. Paul was able to because he was strengthened. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We can do what God's word says we can do, because God made us his sons. He has given us his word. He has given us of the Spirit of God. And he's enabled us and strengthened us. And in chapter 4, verse 12, of 1 Peter, talking about the Spirit of God in us. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, it's referring to the gift of Holy Spirit, the new birth, even so minister the same to one another. And this is something that God says we can do. Even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. When God was telling Moses, hey, this is what I want you to do, Moses looked at his own abilities. He's like, I don't know about this. But God said he would make sure that he, you know, God would be what he needed to be for the circumstances. We have the Spirit of God in us, and we can do what, you know, God will help us in whatever it is that we're going to do according to his word. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. We can do what God says we can do. And it's not because of our own wonderful strength, our own wonderful abilities, or anything of that sort. I mean, we are wonderful, and some people have more physical abilities or genetic abilities in others, but none of them compare to what God has made us in Christ Jesus. None of them. Chapter 4, verse 13, very familiar verse of Scripture. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things through Christ. And the context is about having his needs met and stuff like that. But in a greater thing, we can do what God says we can do. So let's look at a few things that God says that we should do or can do. And we're in the neighborhood here. You don't have to go very far to find out what God instructs us to do or says what we can do. So chapter 4, we'll just look at verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord when you're feeling happy. And again, I say rejoice. Now, there's not that clause in there. You know, when you're really feeling good, then it's a good time to rejoice. Now, it's rejoice in the Lord always. It is available despite the circumstances that we may be in at times that are seemingly difficult or hard or oppressive or dark. We're still able to rejoice in what we have been given in Christ Jesus. Our minds can still go to that and say, I am righteous before my God. I am sanctified. My life has been pulled out of the darkness of this world. And our minds can rejoice in that. Our hearts can rejoice in that. That's why we're bubbly. I mean, a lot of stuff hits our lives. I mean, and we still can bubble. That's because we can. It's available. God says you can rejoice all the time. It's available. Does stuff happen? Absolutely. I mean, I think if we went through the whole fellowship here that's here today, and you go and you said what all these things that have banged your heart and your life over the last 20 years or 50 years or whatever, we'd be, holy smokes. But we're still smiling, we're still rejoicing, and it's because it is available. And God wants us to. So, rejoice always. The next, verse 6, be careful. The word careful is an old term. It basically means anxious. Be anxious for nothing. You know, our lives aren't to be all bound up. We're to be anxious for nothing. Boy, is that a big one. You know, where we can live life without being all, what do they say, have your... Have your panties in a bunch. I don't wear it, men. I don't wear panties. I get the same. You know, we can live without that. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. They call it going commando. They're not even there. Anyway, okay, maybe we should strike that off the table. But in everything, here's the contrast. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And really, that's available to live life like that, where despite the circumstances that are around us, we can have a life that's settled and fluid with God and His Word, and just be at peace. That's pretty cool. You know, yes, there is a devil, and yes, he throws fiery darts at us, but yes, there is the power of God, and there's the peace of God, and there's all the different things that he has done for us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Can we do stuff like that? We absolutely can. And we do. Chapter 4. Verse 15, and this is referring to Jesus Christ, says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ experienced every type of fiery dart that the devil has ever thrown at anybody. He has experienced every one of them, and was able to do what God said to do. Let us, therefore, come boldly, and that's that without that hesitancy, you know, with confidence, with that unreserved speech, frankly, unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in to help in time of need. That's just wonderful. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. God helps us to do the things that he says we can do. We're not in this alone. And you know, a great thing, we help one another be able to do what God's word says we can do. But God is always there. Jesus Christ does strengthen people as the as our Lord and Savior. He it says Paul in 1 Timothy 1 said Jesus Christ strengthens them. Must be available. Chapter 5, verse 1. This is so big, it's like it's almost like laughable that this could possibly happen for our lives. But it is available. Verse 1, be therefore followers, and it's a word for imitators, of God as dear children, that we can imitate God Almighty. I mean, holy smokes. That is a big one. We can be an imitator of God. Wow. And here's the next thing. And walk in love. And this is incredible. We're to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So God says we can love and walk in love like Jesus Christ loved us. That's a big thing to be telling us. That's a big thing to say. Can I really do that? I mean, is that even possible to love like God loved, to love like Jesus Christ loved, to be an imitator of God? I don't know if I could do that. You know, is a pretty understandable statement. I don't know if I can love like God loved, love like Jesus Christ loved. But we can. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Here's a directive to a specific group of people, and they're called husbands. The wives gotta love this. Verse 25, husbands, what's it say? Love your wives. And here's the standard. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Is that even available to do? Must be. That we can so love our wife that we chose to marry. There wasn't anybody there with a gun at their head saying, you better marry her. We chose to. And the directive is the word to love that woman like Christ loved the church. Is that even available? It's got to be. Can we get help to do that? Sure. Did Moses think that when he saw what God was saying he wanted him to do, to walk in as an old shepherd into a country that he fled from and speak to the most powerful man in the world and demand to let all his slaves go? I mean, that's a pretty tall order. But he finally got his thinking in line with God, and he did it. We can get our thinking in line with God's word and do it. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We handled some of this a few months back with looking at truths that God spoke about, Jesus Christ spoke about with the Comforter, and it's referring to the gift of Holy Spirit. And here's in light of that, but also with the love of God that comes with that. Chapter 14, verse 21, this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. I used to not be able to say that word. Now we can. Chapter 14, verse 21, says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, this is Jesus Christ speaking, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, referring to himself and God, will come unto him and make our abode with him. And that's from the church epistles, God in Christ in you. We have God in Christ in us, and that has part of that package is the love of God. And so that was part of that comforter. And then in chapter 17, verse 26, he said, and I have declared, this is a prayer to God, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me, love me, may be in them, and I in them. So Jesus Christ was praying to God and saying, how you have loved me is how they are going to love. I'm going to love them, and they're going to love me. And that love will be in them. So when God says, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and gave himself for us, it is available to do it. We have the enablement to be able to do it. We have the love of God in us. So we just keep growing in that ability that we've been given. We can love like Jesus Christ loved. We can love as God loves. So when circumstances come up and you say, I hate that guy, you might just have to change your mind. I mean, God hates evil. You know, there are evil things that God hates. But if that person is really not evil, might have to change your mind. But we can love. And for us married guys, we could start with our wives. We make any mistakes, we won't go too far. Practice on your wives. I'm practicing. I'm still practicing. So, but look how big that is. God says we can do it. We can. We can love bigger than what the world says we can do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The world gives us a very poor picture of what love is. You know, usually it ties it to an emotion and a lot of other things. But it's much deeper than that.
Sorry, where are we going?
Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Here's another incredible thing, mind blower. Verse 20. Finally, my brethren, when you finally get your act together, you will be ambassadors for Christ. No, it doesn't say that. It just says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors because we got born again. Jesus Christ is our Lord. We represent Jesus Christ on this earth. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. Can we represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth? Absolutely. It's available. We can do that. And our lives should represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We can represent Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can we live life without fear running our lives? Certainly available. God says we can. We can live life without being run by fear. If you've ever been run by fear somewhere in your life, it didn't feel good. Right? I mean, I remember as a young teenager being run by a certain fear, and it was horrific. And when I finally heard God's word, I said, okay, I am done with that fear. And it never haunted me since. But We can be run by fears. We could be run by fears, haven't been in a word for years and years and years. All of a sudden, the fear is right there, stark, right in front of your face. And you can either succumb to that fear, or you can start saying what God's word says concerning that. Right? I mean, life is not always easy. And the devil would like us to be fearful on stuff, especially when it comes to health. The world tries to shake us up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to end there. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to read some of these scriptures. And, you know, we just consider these things. These are things that God has done for us or has commanded us to do. And we can do these things. Chapter 4, verse 25. Chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, even those little white lies, if there is such a thing. Wherefore, putting away lying. That's a big subject, but God puts it in a few words. Stop lying. Wherefore, putting away lying. Can we do that? Sure. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There is a righteous anger. We see it manifested in the scriptures in the Old Testament where God got his nostrils flaming with smoke coming out and pissed at God people that they fell into a trap or pissed at the devil or whatever. There's a righteous anger with God Almighty. And we at times have to, you know, God works in us and we're angry about something that shouldn't be happening. It's a righteous anger. There's nothing wrong with that. So he said, you know, you can get angry, but don't sin. It's not, don't take it into sin. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You can live life without all these things, all things of the earth bothering you into your sleep. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Stop stealing. Can we do that? Sure we can. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, to have a life that goes from take, 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 take. What can I get from this person? What can I get from that person? How can I steal from this? How can I steal from that? To a life that I just want to work hard so I can have something to be able to give and to bless people with and to take care of. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Can we do that? I know sometimes it can be hard, but it's available. Certainly available. We just don't allow it to come out of our mouths. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't turn that thing away. Utilize the Spirit of God in us. Don't have it where that spirit in you is yearning to be worked and utilized in your life, and it's just sitting there because the individual's like out to lunch. You know, utilize the Spirit of God that we have in us. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Can we do those things?
Yeah.
We can if we choose to. We have God Almighty helping us to do so. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Can we forgive? How big can we forgive? A standard that God puts here, just as a note, little side note, here's the standard what God is looking for and what we can do. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the standard. There's nothing bigger than that standard. He could have said, well, anybody that steals more less than $5 from you, you know, forgive those guys.
Yeah.
But over $5, here the standard is, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Wow. And back to this 5:1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us. You know, can we love that big? And God says we can. We can do what God says we can do. And that's encouraging. I remember when I first got in the Word, I was extremely shy, and I was scared stiff to speak in front of people, but I had this desire to teach God's Word and to share God's Word and witness, and I thought, I'm not going to let this fear get in my way. And so I started, there was a scripture in Psalms that talked about the Lord is my confidence, and I just kept repeating that thing over my head hundreds of times a day and said, that's what I want. I don't want this fear to rob me of being able to speak the Word of God to people. And it disappeared. It was like, it was gone, and then I realized, I don't have that fear anymore. It just fell by the wayside. And how many of those things through our lives has that happened? Different things that just fall by the wayside as we have the Word of God center in our thinking of what God says we can do. So, thankfully, Moses said, okay, I got my brother Aaron. He's going to help me. I'm ready to roll. Whatever it takes, God's going to help us. Yeah, whatever it takes. Remember that record with Gideon and God working with Gideon to get to that thing of delivering God's people, and it seemed monumental at first, and he kept getting them closer and closer and closer, and the final one was when he said, go down to the Syrian camp, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of these Syrians, and Gideon was only with 300 men, and told them to go down there to the edge of the camp, and if you're really apprehensive, bring your buddy, forget his name, do you remember?
Phurah.
Bring him along. Like as if that's really going to change the odds. You know, bring him along. If you're a little scared, a little nervous, bring him along and then go listen. And they get down there to the edge and they hear these two Syrian soldiers talk about something that happened in their dream, and they said, this is nothing but Gideon and the sword of the Lord. And boom, his heart was settled. He knew he was ready. He knew he could do it. He went back up, said, we're ready. This is what we're doing. And boom, then the deliverance came. But it was just that one little goofy thing. And that happens in our lives. Sometimes it's the silliest little thing. Well, if I just have this little help. Maybe for Moses, having his brothers talk for him was just the spark that it finally, okay, I guess I could do it now. Who knows? God knows our heart. So whatever it is that we need to be strengthened and how to be strengthened, it is available. It's really that simple.